Morning. Can you feel your feet connected to the earth? Yeah? A little energy and attention there. Can you feel your heart open? Yeah, music does that, doesn't it? Especially music at Unity. Can you feel the energy on the top of your head? Letting in the light. I want to prepare the way for our topic today. So let's come to the heart for a minute and bring in what tomorrow is all about, Memorial Day. Tomorrow is a remembrance, not only Veterans Day, of course, is the day that we say thanks for all those who are serving. Memorial Day is the day we say thanks that you gave your life. And so let's just take a moment in silence to give thanks for all those soldiers and military around the world who have given their lives. So as we come back into this space, you know, whenever it is that we take a moment to honor death, to honor somebody who has impacted our lives in some way, or a general group as we just have. Whenever that happens, we are once again at that place where the topic that we all love to talk about is right in front of us, right? How many of you just thrill at the idea to have a conversation about death? I mean, some of us do, right? So that's an honest question. And those who raised your hand probably have walked through some of the doorways that I'm going to talk about today. And that's why you raised your hand, because you understand the juiciness of this topic. We all do innately understand it because we're impacted by it all the time. We've all lost someone or something we've loved, whether it's a pet or a person or something that we had to say goodbye to in our lives, a circumstance, a thing that we loved, a way of being. It's all a part of living, isn't it? Nothing stays the same except for change, I think somebody brilliantly once said. But I love when we come to this topic, it's always kind of a begin to open it up, right? What is this thing we call death? And I so love the prophet Khalil Gibran, the way he speaks of it that Susan read so beautifully earlier. Just to echo a little bit of the prophet's words once again. For what is it to do, to die, excuse me, but to stand naked in the wind and melt into the sun? Leave it to the poets, right? And what is it to cease breathing, but to free the breath from its restless tides, that it may rise and expand and seek God unencumbered? That I like his definition of death, do you? So it elevates it, right? From that place of heaviness and just sadness to, wow, the mystery of death. What this beckons us into, what this invites us into, which is really what we're talking about today, that death itself is a doorway into life, a doorway into a greater understanding of spirit, ourselves, our divine essence, and opportunity. So as physical beings, death is inevitable, right? That we're going to experience these kinds of death in the physical world, of course. And it, I think in our own well-being, to deliberately talk about that and face that at some point, it's at least good for our emotional and psychological well-being. And it also helps open the door for greater spiritual evolution. So the Buddhists have a really wonderful way of teaching about impermanence. And in particular, what comes to mind are the Tibetan monks who create those gorgeous mandalas. It happened once here, I think long ago, before my time. And so when the monks come, they're in a meditative, often joyful, it feels like, space of creating these very intricate mandalas made of colorful sand. And it takes them days to do this, 4 or 5 monks typically, circling the table, taking turns, working on this. And then if you've ever witnessed it, comes the visceral gut punch at the end when they get out the brush and the dustpan and they just ruin it. Exactly. It's like, oh, what? Come on. And that is exactly what they want us to experience, because we're saying, I want it to be forever, right? Which is exactly what we do with life, with physical life. And so it's such a beautiful teaching of that the beauty of life can be beheld and experienced and engaged in fully and mindfully, and then it can be let go. Easy for you to say, right? In Unity, when someone dies, we like to say that they made their transition. And of course, why we do that is because we are pointing to the fact that life is eternal, that life goes on, that we are, in essence, not the body, but the body is this beautiful temple that holds that essence of who we are, and that's the part that continues on. However, sometimes we start saying those kinds of things a little early before we've really hit the impact of what has happened, right? I remember when I was in ministerial school, I was in a practicum, and the man who was essentially coaching and teaching us to go and make hospital visits, and then we would come back and talk about our experiences. And he said, you have to tell people the person died. You got to use that language. Because it's not until we face the physical fact that we can open up to the possibility of moving through the doorway. We are also human beings with hearts and depths of emotions, and to try to step over that, spiritually bypass that, doesn't do any service to our experience of our evolutionary spiritual life, or life itself, or each other in our relationships. And so it's knowing when, right? Knowing when, usually at the beginning, to embrace the facts of the physical experience and to feel the depth of the emotion. That, in fact, is one of those great doorways. But first, let's really get it, you know, really look right in the eyes of death. And what better way to do it than with a little humor? William Shatner, do you remember him? Captain Kirk from Star Trek and many other things. He is a very vibrant 93, and he says he's deathly afraid of death. And so he wrote this fun little ditty to help himself accept death and for all of us. So let's just take a listen. It's a few minutes long. It's a song.
Live life like you're gonna die, because you're gonna. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you're gonna die. Maybe not today or even next year, but before you know it, you'll be saying, is this all there was? What was all the fuss? Why did I bother? Now, maybe you won't suffer, maybe it's quick, but you'll have time to think, why did I waste it? Why didn't I taste it? You'll have time. 'Cause you're gonna die. Yes, it's gonna happen, because it's happened to a lot of people I know. My mother, my father, my loves, the president, the kings, and the pope. They all had hope. And they muttered just before they went, maybe I won't go. Live life like you're gonna die, because you are. Maybe you won't suffer, maybe it's quick, but you'll have time to think, why did I waste it? Why didn't I taste it? You'll have time, 'cause you're gonna die. I tell you who else left us, passed on, gone to heaven, no longer with us. Johnny Cash.
Dead.
JFK, that guy in the Stones.
Dead.
Lou Gehrig, Einstein, and Joey Ramone.
Joey Ramone.
Have I convinced you? Do you read my lips?
Yes.
This may come as news, but it's time. You're gonna die. You're gonna die. By the time you hear this, I may well be dead. And you, my friend, might be next. Huh? We're all gonna die. Yeah. Or maybe you won't.
There's a point there, isn't it? Yeah, next time you find yourself in fear of death, just Google William Shatner. So now that we've faced it, right? With humor, you know, that helps, doesn't it? To lighten up these sort of heavy, somber subjects, to say, let's give it the light touch, and that will help us begin to confront the topic. And then to really allow ourselves to step through into the spirituality that is offered us once we can face up to the physicality of death. So one of those doorways that we might open, that death allows us to open, is the doorway of the heart. Right? Because when someone or something we love makes its transition or dies, then we have the experience often of grief, which, remember what grief is just an expression of love. And so as we feel those feelings, there is an opportunity for us to have the beautiful experience that we are given to be an emotional self that is part of our human walk. One of the most meaningful Christmases I ever experienced was when I was a junior in high school and my grandmother died. And it was very close to the time, I think we were getting ready, my family was getting ready to have our Christmas Eve celebration and, you know, go to church and open gifts and have a meal, all the things we always did. And yet this particular day, this particular time when we got the news, everything shifted in my family. And suddenly we were all bonding together, and there was a palpable feeling of emotion in my family that was something I always longed for more of. And then we got together and, you know, went off to be with extended family. And all of that added up to a sacredness. And so it's sometimes those times, even though it's not necessarily what we want to have happen, to lose somebody we love, it opens up a doorway in our hearts to feel at a deeper level the love that we had, or the love that a group of people can come together and bond over. So that's one possible doorway that our actual grief and our human emotions are opened by the experience of death. But there are so many other doorways that get opened by death. One is just the basic idea of endings, right? Endings not necessarily of a physical body, but maybe your job or, you know, your home or your, you know, some kind of move, your neighborhood, the state you've lived in for all your life, or the relationship you've been in for so long, or whatever it is, right? There are so many, life itself has so many little mini deaths, if you will. And on the other side of those mini deaths is a rebirth, a new opening, a new doorway, a possibility. So while we're with our hearts, we're also with the possibilities that Spirit calls us into when we come into a new experience. Now, to give you a little more mundane experience of a thing, I was, as you know, probably many of you know, I was in Costa Rica, and then when I got home, just a few days after I got home, I was coming home from the grocery store, and I was at this intersection, and all of a sudden I was like looking at my house going, there's a blue car wedged in our landscaping. Never saw the car before, and then I pull in the drive, oh, there's people I've never seen before standing around fretting and writing and talking and scurrying about. And as it turns out, this woman was coming home from work and fell asleep at the wheel, and she went up the landscaping bed in the front, and I didn't notice this right away, but sideswiped my car and then wedged back into the landscaping. Now, I had thought three times that week, I think it's time to sell my car. And really, the end of my car came. It was totaled. And I had been with that car for almost 20 years. It was a 2003 Honda Civic. You know, those things go forever. And I actually had in my mind a desire to, you know, put it on the market in hopes that somebody who really needed a reliable little car that was at an affordable price could have it. We even had people knocking on our door, I mean, three times over the last few years. No sign on it, no intention to sell it. Somebody just shows up at the door and says, "Would you be interested in selling your car?" So, all of that to say that she was put to rest. My little adventuress car that I shared many adventures with, and you know how it is, right? You kind of have these connections with a home and a car. I know it's just a thing, but it carries so much more than that, right? Carries people and experiences and so on. So what's the doorway here? Because when we experience death, the encouragement that I'm giving us, the invitation I'm giving us today, is to look for the doorway that it's offering us. So I was in the midst of kind of going back and forth with the insurance company, and then finally I got the estimate. And at the same time, I was going back and forth with the teacher I had met in Costa Rica, considering this in-depth personal development year-long program with her. And so I was, these emails come in, and then all of a sudden I'm looking at the price of the year-long, thinking, wow, that's a pretty big price tag. And then I opened my email, and guess what? The total of my car, like almost to the dollar, the same amount. So a doorway now to a new experience, personal development, spiritual development, available to me in that ending. But I would venture to say there's always a doorway. It may not always be that quite that obvious, but there's always a doorway. There's always a possibility. There's always a birth happening, a new beginning when there is an ending. And it behooves us as spiritual beings to look for it, to look for that experience, and then to muster up the courage to walk through. So, another door. What's that? Oh, yes, thank you for asking that. An important piece. She was fine. Yeah, nobody was hurt. Some plants were taken out, so they were hurt. But we are really grateful for that. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for asking. I hate to leave those danglers out there when you're sitting there worried about it and I forgot to say something. So another doorway that opens is this doorway that we call eternal life. Whenever there is death, there is life. And there is eternal life always at the end of a physical life. The Ojibwe, who are one of the indigenous nations, says that in order to understand death, we must first embrace the circle of life that has four stages: birth and life and death and eternal life. And so we often get stuck on stage three, right, in our fears. But without the breath of spirit, what is that, right? And it's that breath of spirit then that carries us into that next level of eternal life, of ongoing life. Even within a lifetime, there is that newness, that life that is being offered to us, that new way of experiencing and living. Jesus was a master at showing us these things, at demonstrating for us all the ways that we can walk through these doorways when we have small deaths in life, changes in life, endings in life. and how we can see those things, how we can move through those limited ideas that we have about our prosperity. Think about the loaves and fishes, or our bodies. Think of all the healings and ways that bodies got restored to wholeness as Jesus demonstrated for us what is true, what is alive in us, what is possible in us, what is that power that we have access to. It's that when we walk through a doorway, when we open up the possibility beyond the physical limitation, that's where the juice happens, right? Because our fear of death is just thinking this is all there is. Our fear is just being in that limitation of mind that says, oh, life is just the physicality, and now it's over. But we know better than that when we are on the spiritual path. We have tasted of, experienced, maybe a little bit of William Shatner was talking about, tasting of life in a spiritual sense. When we begin to taste the truth of who we are, it lights us up, doesn't it? When you become aware of some new dimension of your being, when you become enlightened for a moment of what can be, what is possible, when you see before your eyes some kind of miracle of life, some kind of restoration of wholeness, whether it be in the body or whether it be in the world at large, or whether it be some kind of shift or change of mind or shift of consciousness, collective or individual, don't you just kind of stand back and go, wow, I never thought that were possible. Think about like big movements like apartheid, you know, in South Africa. Did anybody ever think that was going to shift? And then, boom, there it was. There's so many of those kinds of things, moments of peace. Let's hold those moments where there are those places where there's war going on in our world, and to know the truth, because when we walk through the doorway, we stand in the truth of who we are, and we touch and taste the divinity that is accessible to us and the power that can heal through us and prosper through us, then we say anything is possible. We get in that mindset. And in that mindset, truly, we know anything is possible, right? We feel it in our beings. And then we become bringers of life. We become less fearful of death, and we become bringers of life. Pallbearers of the old ways of being, right? We just shift out those old ways of being that keep us small, that keep us constrained, that keep us stressed and full of worry and concern and spinning in our minds over and over again. And we get into that bigger space that breaks us out of the loop, and we go, wow, there is way more going on here. There is way more to life. There is way more possibility through me and as me and in the world at large. And if that doesn't light us up, what possibly could? But you know what? We'll never know that if we keep the door closed. We'll never even see the possibility if we aren't willing to look, to invite it, to believe in it, to have faith, to trust that there is something greater. So, it's interesting about, I was speaking about Jesus a moment ago, and at the beginning of sabbatical, I was in Egypt, and one of the co-leaders said something that really surprised me. She said, Jesus is the same soul as Thoth was, the ancient Egyptian god. Now, I have no way of knowing if this is true or not, but I do respect her quite a bit. Thoth was the god who would be present. He was one of the many gods that would be present, because the ancient Egyptian religion was all about the afterlife, right? All about preparing ourselves for ongoing life. And so there is Thoth, and he's writing. Thoth was highly intelligent. He was an advisor to the gods, and he was the one who would be there recording the life of the individual. It's all part of that. You probably heard about the Egyptians believe that the heart would get weighed against a feather on a scale. And so the idea was that your heart becomes as either equal to or lighter than a feather, and then the door is open to eternal life. So Thoth was a helper in that process by helping record what has happened in that person's lifetime. Now, whether or not these two human beings are connected in soul or not doesn't really matter. But what does, and what's interesting, is the shared teachings. The shared teachings that life does matter, what we do in life does matter, and that there is more. There is an eternity to life. There is a divinity. There is something greater to open to that is the truth of our beings. So throughout ancient Egyptian tombs, you'll find this symbol. It's called the Ankh. And it's the key of life is essentially what it is. And that Ankh, that kind of, it's almost like a cross but with a loop at the top, is an offering in many of the depictions that you see. So you see there on the left of your screen is the goddess offering to Queen Nefertari life, eternal life, the key of life, this through the symbol of the Ankh. And the truth is, we are being offered that all the time. If we can think about that, that there is always a sense of God, the divine, reminding us, you know, putting that key right in front of us to say, there's more, there's more. Cast your, you know, lift up your eyes, as Jesus would say, and notice the fields are already ripe for harvest. You say the harvest will happen then and this. He's saying you're so closed into your physical life that you've got it all lined out. And so in November, that's when the crops will be ready, and that's when I can look forward to my prosperity. And he says, no, lift up your eyes and see the fields are already ripe for harvest. He's saying, walk through the doorway, get out of your limited mind, open your heart and your senses to allow yourself to begin to feel the light and the truth and the peace and the prosperity and the health and the wholeness that you are. And then you'll see how you have everything you need at your fingertips, always. So that's the call, is to cross the threshold into this bigger understanding of life and of ourselves as the very bringers of that life, keepers of that life, as the body being the temple that holds it, but not constrains it, allows it to flow out of these places that we grounded in at the very beginning, where your feet are connected to earth and your heart is open to the experience of humanity and divine love, and your crown is open to the transcendent possibilities of the allness of the divine. And when those three places, even just those, are open, what more can we experience as we walk about this earth? So much more. But we won't know until we try. And it'll be different for all of us, probably, in some ways. So have you ever had a dream arise or some guidance come along from spirit and you didn't act on it? Anybody ever experienced that? Some life dream you never followed through with, or some nudge that you got and you didn't because you feared what you had to give up or what you were going to lose in the process. And yet spirit's there, you know, with the key of life going, come on. Walk through the door. Come on, it's right here for you. I'm offering it to you. It's the blessing. And you're going, no, I want to stay where it's familiar. I'm going to stay right here in this space, in these boundaries I've created. It's good here. It's safe here, right? That's natural for us as human beings, I think, to want to feel safe. And as spiritual beings, we're always asked to become, to step up, step through, and allow and receive, and step into the unknown mystery that death offers us, endings offer us. So if we have a genuine call to something, we can be sure there is something good on the other side. So don't let fear paralyze you in your life. Just allow yourself to open and to try and to step forward. Death is also a time of wholeness. It's also a time to complete relationships. And so in many indigenous cultures, there's something called a death lodge ceremony, where the person is in a designated space, maybe in their home or outside their home. And that's a place where people are invited that cared about that soul or care about that soul to come and say their goodbyes. Ideally, that process looks like things like, you know, I'm sorry for whatever it is we need to apologize for still, or please forgive me, whatever we need to clear, or thank you, appreciation for the way that person impacted your life, and I love you. Those are some of those statements from self-identity Ho'oponopono that bring us back to the essence of what we want to do in our relationships all the time, right? But in these moments, it becomes, you know, imperative for many of us. So how do, you know, it doesn't have to, of course, be, though, just at the end of a physical life. Again, this can be a really powerful practice for us to invoke on our own long before that time comes. So you can make a Death Lodge ceremony for yourself at any time. Finding a place, ideally in nature, maybe a cave-like environment is nice, or you can create a little space like with stones or rocks and leave a door open. And then you can just get into meditation and allow, you know, as you begin to contemplate, okay, this is about my death. Maybe we're reflecting a little bit on our lives, some key things in our lives, and maybe some unfinished business will come up. Usually that's relationships, but not always. And so then we can invoke or invite or welcome in our mind's eye whoever wants to walk through that door. So Petra Lynn Snow is a blogger, and she said in this particular blog, Die Before You Die, The Gifts of the Death Lodge, that she was going through cancer treatment, and she had hoped that she would get to keep her hair. And so far, so good, day after day, it was looking good, and then one day, a clump of hair came out. And she said, oh, here it comes. And she started to feel really sad. But she's practiced in this kind of ceremony, so she immediately went out to the riverbank, and she spent hours by that riverbank having a Death Lodge ceremony, facing and confronting the possibility of her own death and the sadness that she was having of the effect of the treatment and losing her hair. And she said about this experience and offered this to all of us, there are times when we are asked to face our greatest fears and somehow miraculously find the courage to die to those fears instead of dying from them. That's really what the invitation is, isn't it? To find the courage to die to the fears instead of dying from them. I've participated in two of these kinds of self-induced Death Lodge type of ceremonies. And to my great surprise, when I opened up the space, the first person to push through the door both times was the same grandmother that I mentioned when I was a junior in high school, who made her transition back then. And it surprised me because I didn't have any kind of like spiritual connection with my grandmother that I can remember. I mean, I knew she went to church and that was important to her, but we never had those kinds of conversations. And how my grandma showed up was from the moment she would come to visit about 3 hours away. My sister is in the audience. She probably remembers this. And grandma would always come with some fudge, and none of us kids could touch it because it was for her beloved son, my father. But she also was fun. We played a lot of cards. She talked constantly. From the time she walked in the door until my dad took her to the train, she talked. My mom would always be like, isn't that, you should go early. So when you think about like who she showed up, my friends called her canasta playing beer drinking grandma. So I was so surprised, and there she was both times. So there's something compelling about that, right? And something mysterious about that. I don't know why. I didn't get any, but just her presence. She wanted to be there. But then I remembered this sort of mysterious photo that's amongst all of her family photos of this woman who's in the full Native American dress who was associated with another family member in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. I don't know all the ties, but I wondered maybe it's the ceremony that she has some connection to, you know? And Truth or Consequences, oh my goodness, don't you love that name? I mean, what could be better on the spiritual path than truth or consequences, right? That's what it's all about, right? You follow the spiritual truth, and you either just get to be in the glory of those consequences or suffer the consequences when we don't, right? I mean, and life and death, this topic, truth or consequences. And then to put the light touch on it again, it's named that because the game show Truth or Consequences is connected there somehow. I guess it was filmed there or something. Anyway, where do we want to go from here? What is the truth? What are the consequences of that truth? The truth is that it doesn't end with the end. That's really what I want to get across here. You know, the Tibetan monks, they don't end the mandala in the dustpan. The whole ceremony doesn't stop there. It doesn't go in the garbage. From there, they reverently take those sands, like a funeral procession, if you've ever been a part of it, to a local waterway. And they, through ceremony, release those sands, knowing that imbued in those sands is the healing energy that they have just poured over for days. And they put it in those waterways as a blessing, knowing that it flows out to all of us in the world to be touched by this healing blessing. It never ends with what appears to be the ending. There's a blessing, an honoring, an opportunity for ceremony to acknowledge it and to let our human hearts let go and our spiritual beings open up and be seen and known and demonstrated and to receive that which we are in truth in our whole beings. Jesus died not to save us, but to show us. And what he was showing us in his final demonstration in particular was a complete surrender to the ego. Right? It wasn't just about a physical death and a resurrection of life, but what was the spiritual meaning behind it? It was a full surrender to that which limits us, that which boxes us in, to allow that when we do this, right? I keep doing this, realizing I'm doing the movement of the crucifixion, right? That when we are in this space and we have let go and we are aligning, then we move into the truth of who we are. That divine life within us is indestructible. And we get whatever blocks are out of the way, and we get to really shine and be and live and dwell and have our being there. So he came to bring us life. He, in fact, said that, "I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly." I came as a teacher to break through a whole new level of human consciousness. One of the many master teachers who has walked before us and is probably sitting beside you somewhere in this room are here to help us break through, to allow us to walk through the truth of who we are, to accept it, to allow it, and to be it in the world. So interestingly, Hermes, the Greek god, they say, is the same as Thoth, the Egyptian god. And when we wonder, like, how do we do this surrender of the ego thing? What does that even mean? Letting go of limitation, letting go of judgments, letting go of ways we keep ourselves small, right? All of that. How do we even do that? Hermes said this, gives us instructions. Close your eyes and let the mind expand, he says. Let no fear of death or darkness arrest its course. Allow the mind to merge with big M mind, or you could say divine mind. Let it flow out upon the great curve of consciousness. Let it soar on the wings of the great bird of duration up to the very circle of eternity. That was a lot. But let's go back to the beginning. Close your eyes and let the mind expand. That's all you really have to remember. Close your eyes and let the mind expand. Because when we do that, we open the door. And we don't know exactly where it's taking us. And that's part of the fun. Not the fear, the fun. Well, maybe the fear is there, but we've come far enough on this journey that we're not going to let that stop us, right? Hello, fear. Okay. Now where's the fun? I'm after that fun, right? So that's really what we're after. We started with the topic of death, and now we're on fun. See? That's how life goes. But truly, let's really do this. Let's really allow ourselves to come face to face with this topic so we can let it open us to all the possibilities that await us in life. I invite you to say this affirmation with me that will help us do that. Together, I face death and step through the doorway of endings into abundant new life. And so it is.